Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed, droops on the little hand's little gold head. Hush, hush, whisper who dares, Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. God bless mummy, I know that's right. Wasn't it fun in the bath tonight? The cold so cold and the hot so hot. Oh, God bless daddy, I quite forgot. If I open my fingers a little bit more, I can see Nanny's dressing gown on the door. It's a beautiful blue, but it hasn't a hood. Oh, God bless Nanny and make her good. There are some words that we use over and over again in church, and yet maybe you don't really think about what they mean. It seems to me that bless is one of those. So I want to try and explore what it means for a few minutes. We do use it a lot in ordinary conversation as well as in Christian contexts. We have the hangover from primitive superstitions of devils coming out when we sneeze and people saying, bless you, to fill the vacant space with good instead of bad. People will say all sorts of things are a blessing, whether it's a new kitchen gadget, or more solemnly, when somebody who's been suffering finally dies. People with no thought of God will still say, you have to count your blessings. It even gets used as a kind of alternative to, oh, a child does something cute and everyone says, oh, bless. The words like bless and blessing are very common in the Old Testament. There are 640 instances and fairly common in the New, 68. What's clear from both Old and New Testament is that the source of blessing is God. We have that enshrined in Bishop Ken's words in the hymn, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Though if we dig into the origins of words, that could almost be rephrased as bless God from whom all blessings flow. We return to that idea of a circle of blessing as we go on. Many of the Psalms, which are in the prayer book version, begin praise God, like Psalm 103, 104, which begin, Praise the Lord, O my soul. In more recent translations, they read, Bless the Lord, O my soul. But what does the word really mean? Curiously, we have the Greek word still in use in today's English. If you go to a funeral, people may well give a eulogy, and that's the word in question. At a funeral, it usually means saying good things about the person who's died. And a blessing, a eulogizing, a saying good things, means the bestowal of good or happiness on someone, as one scholar defined it. You're probably aware that the so-called Beatitudes, which traditionally have begun blessed are often translated in Bibles today as happy are. We sing that in the hymn, Blessed are the pure in heart. But there seems also to me to be something dynamic about being blessed or blessing. It's about making a difference. That goes right back to one of the earliest examples of God blessing people, when God says to Abram, as he then was, I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And it goes on, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I mentioned the cycle of blessing earlier, here we are again, and I'll return to it again. Of course there are formal blessings. We read of at least three blessings Jesus gave. In Mark 10, after he told the disciples off for pushing children away, it says, he took the children in his arms and blessed them. The word seems to mean enfolding them in his arms. It's formal, but it's highly personal. And then in Matthew 10, we read of the way Jesus commissions his disciples. They are to be bearers of blessing. When he ascends to heaven after the resurrection in Luke 24, it says, he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. That reflects the custom which we find in the Old Testament of people blessing others when they leave. Perhaps that's the reason why we still have a formal blessing at the end of the service, despite some people saying there's no need, after receiving communion, for any further blessing. A formal blessing in words is how worship ended in the temple. We're familiar with the words of blessing given for Aaron and his sons to use. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. We still use those words in exactly that form. Formal blessings happen at great moments, at a baptism, at a wedding, at an ordination, at a funeral. In the context of our Anglican community, formal blessings are reserved for those who are priests. But that's perhaps misleading in terms of what blessings are. They can and should be given by us all. We are to bless each other. So let me return again to the cycle of blessing. We need to know that we are blessed. As the American hymn writer Johnson Oatman put it over 100 years ago, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. In a hymn I wrote, I tried to list some of the many blessings God has given us. We come to God with thankful hearts to praise his holy, glorious name. For every blessing he imparts, in every age his love the same. The blessing of baptismal grace, our lives remade in Christ our Lord. The blessing of eternal hope of heaven and earth in one accord. The blessing of forgiven sins, the cross for us, his mercy's sign. The blessing of Christ's body broken, his love for us in bread and wine. The blessing of his Holy Spirit, who teaches, guides, and makes us whole. Blessing of the written word that speaks to depths of mind and soul. The blessing of relationships with neighbours, families and friends. The blessing of God's presence with us on whom all life and love depends. The blessings that we take for granted of food and clothing, warmth and light. The blessing of our hearts enchanted by scenes that bring our eyes delight. The blessing of the world of music, of brass strings, wind and human voice. These blessings flow from God the Father. In his abundance we rejoice. We come to God with thankful hearts to praise his holy, glorious name. For every blessing he imparts, in every age, his love the same. Each of us can personalize those blessings if we take time to reflect. The more we realize we are blessed, the more we can be channels of blessing. We have the opportunities to share the blessing with others. The hymn writer Fred Kahn put it very powerfully when he wrote, "Bless us only so that we in turn may bless the world." And thinking back to that business of the words of Psalm 103 and 104, the more we realise how much God has blessed us, the more we will want to bless God, to praise God for his goodness. The circle of blessing goes on and on. So count your blessings, share a blessing, be a blessing. We have received so much. We're called to share it. We go from church to continue that cycle. In the words of the hymn by Omar Westendorf, "Sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from his dwelling take leave. The supper is ended, so now be extended the fruits of his service in all who believe. The seed of his teaching, our hungry souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for man. His grace shall incite us, his love shall unite us, to work for his kingdom and further his plan. With praise and thanksgiving to God ever living, the task of our everyday life we will face, our faith ever sharing, in love ever caring, embracing as brothers all men of each race. One feast that has fed us, one light that has led us, unite us as one in his life that we share. Then may all the living, with praise and thanksgiving, give honour to Christ and his name that we bear."